Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rolene Marks, good morning and happy Unicorn Day to you too as well.
Did you know that the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland?
No, you made that up.
Did not make that up. It is an absolute fact.
If you are going to use a mythical creature, why wouldn't they have used the Loch Ness?
That is a good question. Yeah. But yes, the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland. And all that remains is for me to ask just one question. Are rhinos just overweight unicorns?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're unicorns that have been in lockdown.
Some corona curves.
Exactly. That's what that is all about. All right. Talking about unicorns and dreaming of a future that can be, Israel hopes to open fully within a month. It is just astounding, and what a cause for celebration.
It is a cause for celebration. You can certainly start feeling it and seeing it in the air, and it couldn't come at a better time because we are approaching the two big national holidays this week, one of them being Yom HaAtzmaut, and we had the good news this week that the annual flyover will resume, and just yesterday the numbers of people allowed to gather in a place have been increased, so you can expect to see Israelis visiting each other, packing the beaches outside, taking advantage of the what will we hopefully be having next week as good weather. Not so great weekend coming up, cold and wet, but you can certainly feel it. I was in Tel Aviv for a meeting the other day, and there definitely is a sense of we are starting to put this behind us. Still a long way to go. I think we all have to deal with not only just the coming out of lockdowns or the remainder of the virus and the vaccinations, but also the incredible toll it's taken on our economies and our mental health all around the world to start to recover from that. But yes, the health ministry, I'm going to call him chief because you know I hate that other word, has said that he hopes that within the month we will fully open up, which means that kids and students will be able to return to schools without having to do it in pods. There has been no major spike so far from Pesach, but we are just a week over that, so we're waiting a few more days to see there. Also talk about whether or not we need to drop the outdoor mask mandate. At the moment, the ruling is that if you are outside and you're walking by yourself and you don't have your mask on, you're not going to be fined for it. Definitely feelings of optimism. We've opened up visiting for anybody wanting to visit their relatives who have been vaccinated or have recovered from COVID-19. But I really, really urge you to check your embassy, check your consulate to see what the criteria are before booking those tickets and flying to Israel.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for South Africans because as we can't access the vaccine, that means that we are precluded from that. But people from around the world, Americans, for example, or people from Britain who have received the vaccine are now able to travel in and out of Israel.
Well, absolutely, but also it depends on the laws in the countries that they come from. And of course, we are aching to get our tourism industries up and running again.
I'm sure desperately needed. Are there going to be measures put in place to encourage tourism? Because I would imagine the toll on restaurants and hotels over this period has been horrific.
Well, there have been talks of a major campaign in the city of Jerusalem. Also, especially since we now have this incredible signing of the Abraham Accords not just try and increase tourism from around the world to visit Jerusalem, you know, the a holy city for three religions, but also specific campaigns aimed at the Muslim world, our new friends in the Gulf states to come to see the city, to experience Jerusalem. A lot of the hotels are running good deals right now. They're being inundated with locals. We certainly saw it over Chol HaMoed Pesach because Israelis couldn't travel overseas to as many countries as they usually do. And during Chol HaMoed, many Israelis choose to travel. We certainly saw people hitting the national parks, at the beaches, the museums, you know, wherever they could. So I think that from Khula Moed, we've seen a slight bump up in the tourism industry, which is really great. But we also want to bring in those important dollars and euros to get this economy pumping again.
Absolutely. Let's just move on to another subject, that Israel has told the ICC, the International Criminal Court, that they will not cooperate. For anyone who doesn't know the background, maybe you can just give us a little bit of background here and then explain what has happened now.
Well, the International Criminal Court at The Hague, the ICC, announced last month that they will be investigating Israel and they say Hamas for possible war crimes. And their three criteria are settlements, operation, protective edge, and the march of return marches, which have now come to an end, that took place for about the period of a year on the border with Gaza, with the intention of trying to infiltrate Israel. Notably missing from this investigation, Howard, is the kidnapping and murder of the three young boys, Eyal, Yifrach, Gilad Sha'er, and Naftali Frankel, which actually almost precipitated Operation Protective Edge, because it, through our search for the boys, it was discovered that there were these underground tunnels with, again, with the aims of infiltrating Israel or smuggling or kidnapping soldiers by Hamas. So that already gives us a clear indication of where the ICC is sitting on this. Now, I must stress that this is being done while the current chief prosecutor, Fatou Bensouda, is in her term. Her term comes to an end relatively soon, and the incoming chief prosecutor, who is seen to be a lot more rational when it comes to Israel, might drop this investigation. However, Israel's upper echelons, the prime minister, the defense minister, Benny Gantz, the foreign minister, Ashkenazi, and various others of our security and military establishment met this week to discuss our response to the ICC. The ICC sent a letter saying you've got 30 days to tell us what your response is. Our response has basically been thanks, but no thank you. Israel is a democracy. We have the military court, so we have the criteria in place to handle our own investigations. The ICC have no jurisdiction over us. Now, this is very important because the ICC, and there's two things we have to know. The ICC was founded on the Rome Statutes, a document, a legal document of which Israel is not a signatory. Neither, of course, are Hamas. Hamas are recognized as a terror entity, and neither are the Palestinians. However, the ICC have said that they will enforce jurisdiction over the Palestinian territories. They will de facto take responsibility or jurisdiction for them. Also, international law, because we hear this bandied about a lot, and it's not within international law, is a series of reciprocal treaties. It's not a specific court that says, I am the court of international law, and you know you will therefore be obliged to follow all rulings. International law is reciprocal treaties. So Israel, along with many, many countries, including the United States, Australia, Germany, various others, have said that they are concerned that the ICC is politicizing or is becoming politicized and not remembering that A, they have no jurisdiction over the state of Israel on this, and B, that their mandate is to investigate genocide and bring to book people who are guilty of genocide. Yesterday, we commemorated Yom HaShoah, the genocide against the Jews and other minority groups. It was also the anniversary of the start of the genocide in Rwanda. And I think the ICC would better be served investigating those responsible for committing genocide in Rwanda and other places.
So Israel really not. Do you think that to some extent it could make Israel look like it has something to hide?
I don't think in this case, you know, when we've had other situations with the United Nations saying that, you know, they have a special fact-finding mission and, you know, they come with the literature that, you know, Israel did this and this and this and this. There's a lot of debate in the country about, you know, just let them in. We have nothing to hide. Others saying, you know, why should we cooperate with a mandate that is already decided that we are guilty before the fact. However, this is a different kind of criteria. This, because they are not including the kidnap and murder of the three boys, which is very, very relevant specifically to the situation of protective edge. The other issue, and believe me, if they had jurisdiction, I would love for them to come in and put many people on the stand. The families of the three boys, also put the families that live in the south of Israel, what it is like to live under the threat of constant rocket attack and possible infiltration. I myself have covered for the news being on the border with Gaza, not an easy experience. The issue of settlements, which countries like Australia recognize as disputed territories and not necessarily occupied territories as per the legal definition. But this, what is central to this investigation is the issue of jurisdiction.
I'd love our listeners' thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Do you think Israel should stand firm and not cooperate with this investigation, or should they take a different approach and show that in fact they have nothing to hide? I'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 0618951019. Ahead of Memorial Day next week, we mourn the loss of 23,928 fallen soldiers. That is a staggering number.
It is a staggering number, and we add 43 to that list, or 43 are included in that list just in the past years, soldiers who have fallen while they are serving this country. This also doesn't include the number of victims of terror, because sadly, over the years, day has expanded from just Memorial Day for our fallen soldiers to the victims of terror that have been killed during the Intifada, during waves of terror, during terror attacks on this country. So we should have that statistic within the next couple of days. But an extraordinary time of the year here in Israel, actually my favorite time of the year. You know, the whole country now is decked out in blue and white, as is the tradition after we finish Yom HaShoah. Everybody puts their flags out. Everybody runs frantically to buy up as much as they can at the supermarkets. And we have these two really, really extraordinary days, one day spent in heavy, heavy mourning, which will start on Tuesday evening as the sun sets. 8 o'clock, there will be the nationwide siren. Another one on Wednesday at 11 a.m. We will spend the day immersed in remembering the price that has been paid so that we have this incredible country. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, the entire mood of the country will change from one of solemn mourning to one of absolute unbridled celebration, as we watch those chosen to light the mitzvot, the flames of independence. Very moving this year is a Arab medic during the coronavirus. Quite a famous story. He sat and he read the Shema with his Haredi patient who was dying. Scared of dying alone, and he was there to make sure that this transition was as peaceful as possible. Very, very proud, he says, his family are, that he will be lighting this torch of independence. So for all of you out there who think that our Arab minority, I'm talking to you, BDS, are very unhappy in this country, just think again. But this really, really moving and beautiful story. And then, of course, Thursday will be one big fat barbecue in this country. and very, very special. As we say, happy birthday, happy 73rd birthday to Israel. You are thousands of years old and 73 years young. You have never looked better.
Absolutely love that, Raleen Marks. Thank you as always. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I hope the weather improves and that you could even get to the beach. It is 8 o'clock. Shabbat Shalom.